Please stand in body or in spirit. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I didn't like it. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I guess if that's the best you can do, we will begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination of our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Acts, the second chapter. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, this will be known to you, and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 116 responsively with me. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life.
What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
The second reading is from 1 Peter, the first chapter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. This is the word of God, the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, according to Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now, on that same day, that day being the first day of the week, when Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women told the apostles that the tomb was empty, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, and they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. But was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into the glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted these things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. So, on occasion, two Lutherans, a Catholic, and a Catholic turned Baptist, a church. Today that has happened. And when that happens, I think extra hard about what my sermon's going to be, because on those days, I know that there are at least three or four people who will remember that sermon and spend the next year or two or three bringing up everything I did or said in that sermon. For instance, one of the times they were here, I said something disparaging about WWJD bracelets. That was not good because I keep getting reminded of that. And another time, apparently, I read an entire book to you all while I was here. And this morning, let's see, what text did I get to wake me up this morning? It was a good one. He said, maybe there was one of them who couldn't make it today. And he said, well, maybe he just thought he could himself read whatever Judy Blume novel today's sermon heavily borrows from. Ladies and gentlemen, these are my friends. So I did think extra hard about this sermon today. So I tried really hard to do someone else's sermon. You see, a few of us spent the weekend at Hopewood Outdoors, one of them being Tracy here. And as our session was closing on Friday night, Pastor Drew Tucker, who is both the executive director of Hopewood, which is, by the way, if you know it as LOMO, that's Hopewood now, and he was the leader of our retreat. He mentioned that he was going to be preaching on Saturday evening, and this really piqued my interest because I had struggled earlier that day on Friday to write only half a sermon, and I could tell when I was writing it was a very mediocre sermon. Apparently, I hadn't cribbed enough on Judy Blume yet. And I said to him, well, would you care to share your sermon? Just asking for a friend. And rudely, he did not hand me a copy of his sermon. Instead, he just merely alluded to it. He asked a cryptic question. He says, the two men on the road to Emmaus, what kept them from recognizing Jesus? And I have to say, if a pastor ever asks you a question like this, after you know that they've written a sermon, don't answer their question. It's a trap. It's a trick. Because they've likely found something in that sermon. See, the former pastor among us? He knows. He's done this a million times, right? They've caught something in that text that they know that you probably haven't, even if you've read that text a million times. And guess what? He caught me in that trap. And I knew that he caught me in that trap. I knew that there was something that I had likely missed. But I wanted to know what he knew because I was hoping that it would help me with my mediocre half a sermon. So I gave him an answer that I was pretty sure I knew was wrong. I said, I think it was Jesus who kept them from recognizing him, right? And he just looks at me and he says, you sure about that? And he goes on to inform me, simply reading from the text. He says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So that leads to the question that I assume was the root of his sermon, the hook for his sermon, and it's a good hook for a sermon: what keeps them and what keeps us from recognizing Jesus? It's probably a good hook for an entire sermon series. But lest I be accused of stealing, I didn't stop there, okay? Drew's question caused me to think of another question. What happens? What is the consequence when we are kept from recognizing Jesus? So Jesus comes near and asks the two men on the road, he says, "What are you talking about?" And Cleopas is just, he's indignant. How can this man not know what's been going on in Jerusalem these past days? In his mind, there was nothing else they could be talking about. He says, "Haven't you heard the things about Jesus of Nazareth? This man, a prophet, mighty in deed and word. Have you not heard about how he was handed over, how he was condemned, how he was crucified?" He's telling the story of what happened to Jesus. Then he makes a major mistake. A mistake all of us make, I think, when we are kept from recognizing Jesus. He says these words. He says, "Jesus was our hope." Jesus was our hope. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem us, the one to redeem Israel. As in, Jesus is no longer our hope, but he was our hope. What happens when we struggle to recognize Jesus? We cannot tell the whole story. It's not proclamation anymore. It's not, "We have hope and his name is Jesus." Cleopas tells a story of hope that is destroyed, hope that is condemned and crucified, hope that is put to death. "Have you not heard? How have you not heard these things?" says Cleopas. Sure, some among us say that the tomb is empty. Some speak of these visions of angels saying that he's alive, but I haven't seen it. And others among us went to the tomb, and they did not see Jesus there. He is dead. We had hope. We had hope, but our hope is gone. Our hope has been put to death on a cross. And that's where the story ends. This is what happens when we struggle to recognize Jesus. When we struggle to, or can't, or don't recognize Jesus, the story we tell will always end at the cross. It will not end with redemption. It will not end with resurrection. It will not end with new life. It will end with death. And I know that we try our best to be Easter people. This opening hymn that we sang today, it says, "City of God, Easter forever." We proclaim it. The problem with Easter forever is this isn't the now Easter forever. This is the hope of a future where we know Easter is forever. But is that the world we live in? A world where Easter is forever? We can't feel a world where Easter is forever, can we? At least not all the time. We try our best to be an Easter people. But I can promise you that there are times when we will lose sight of Jesus, as these two men on the road to Emmaus do. The promise that we are given is not, "Become a follower of Jesus, and he will protect you from all loss and grief and sadness," is it? Anyone receive that promise? Joel? I can't believe you called out Joel Osteen in a sermon. Well, that is what we call prosperity gospel, but that is not one that I preach. Our promise is not become a follower of Jesus and he will protect you from all loss and grief and sadness. Jesus does not promise us that we will never know what it is to stand at the foot of the cross, because I know that we all know that what it is to stand in the places of grief that place us at the foot of that cross. And Jesus does not promise to us that we will never lose faith or hope or sight of Jesus. But there is a promise that comes with this, isn't there? And no, it's not jets. The promise is that when the events of this life traumatize us, and they will, even when life does its worst, and it will, and we are kept from recognizing Jesus, even when it feels like death has won, even when we are convinced that hope is dead and faith is lost, even then, and maybe perhaps especially then, that is when Jesus comes near. Even when we don't have the capacity to recognize him in that moment. And when Jesus comes near, he says something like, hey, what are you talking about? Why? Because he wants to know what's going on. He wants to know our story. He wants to have a personal relationship with us, right, Brett? How's your relationship with Jesus? Inside joke. Don't say those in sermons. Sorry. He walks with us on the road, doesn't he? He stays with us. He breaks bread with us and for us. And all of this he does, even while our eyes are closed to him. And even though there are times when we cannot see him, he makes his nearness known to us in these times by causing our hearts to burn within us. He causes our hearts to burn within us. And yet we want to know, and I get it. We want to see Jesus. We just don't want burning hearts. We want Jesus. We want someone to open our eyes. And we want to know, what do we need to do to open our eyes to Jesus? What do we need to do to see Cleopas, to see Jesus as Cleopas and that other man saw him? What do we need to do? There's surely something that we must do. And I would say, there's nothing we must do. Because it is Jesus who comes near to us on that road. It is Jesus who takes the bread. It is Jesus who blesses this bread. It is Jesus who breaks the bread. It is Jesus who gives the bread. And it is then that our eyes are opened. It is then that our eyes are open after Jesus does all these things. My dear siblings in Christ, there will be long journeys and sleepless nights. There will be times when our eyes are closed and we cannot see Jesus. And then there will be times when Jesus comes alongside us and something happens and our eyes will be opened. Once again, we will see Jesus and we will see hope. And it is that point, that is when we are called to actually do something. And what we do in this moment, once our eyes are open, is tell the rest of that story. We tell a story that is rooted here. It's rooted in the cross. But the story we tell can never end at the cross. The story does not sound like we had hoped. The story is one of we have hope. We have hope that Jesus is the one who has redeemed us, his people, because we are his people. He is not dead. The tomb is not empty. He is alive. He comes near and he meets us on the road.
And we know this because Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Okay, so I didn't give it my all when I said that. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Our friend Beth has returned, very happy to welcome her. We will continue to pray for her healing. Are there any additional prayers for our prayers of intercession this morning? Ah. Our friend Jack has also returned. I should have looked slightly to the left when I looked all the way back at Beth. Our friend Jack is also back with us, so we will continue to pray for his healing and wholeness. Beth?
My granddaughter, Zoe.
Zoe? She trying to be like her grandma? So we will be praying for Zoe. Let us pray. Trusting in the power of Christ's resurrection to heal and redeem our broken world, let us pray for the needs of all creation.
Living Savior, as you walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, walk with your church here in Galilee and around the world, in our daily work and our shared life. Gather us at your table that we may recognize you in the breaking of the bread, and through us make yourself known in this community and beyond. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Healing Savior, your resurrection brings hope to a hurting world. Heal those who are sick and grieving, especially the family and friends of Michael, for Jack, for Beth, for Betty, Barb, Clint, Devin, Chuck, Tammy, Doug, Linda, and Ed. For Zoe, for those on our long-term, homebound, assisted living, and limited mobility prayer list, and those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We thank you for the healing that you have provided to Jack and to Beth, and for restoring them to us and this assembly. We thank you for their presence here and pray for their continued healing and wholeness. Merciful God.
God of the nations, our hearts burn for peace. Where leaders abuse power, call them to repentance. Where there is corruption, bring integrity. We lift to your care all places where conflict endures and peace remains elusive. Merciful God.
God of resurrection power, use us and these prayers to proclaim the good news of new life to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of Christ's peace. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Merciful God, accept the fruits of our labor, gathered to give you glory. You have set a table before us, a glimpse of that great day when we will hunger and thirst no more. Nourish us with the body and blood of Jesus, that goodness and mercy may follow us and bless the world you love. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. So with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is made known to us in the breaking of this bread and in the wine. Come to the table. All is ready.
Body of Christ broken for you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Holy One, through this meal you have made your home among us and are making all things new. Send us now to speak peace to anxious hearts, to love our enemies, and to bring your healing to the nations. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. A few announcements this morning. One, I missed a prayer. Please pray for Teresa. She was out of the office on Thursday, and she will be out of the office likely all of this week. So thank you, Geneva, for covering Thursday, and I think Mike and then Marty and then the Voorheeses are covering this week. So thank you all for that, and please keep Teresa in your prayers as well. Marty, I believe you have an announcement.
I have an announcement from one of our parishioners.
To the members of First Lutheran Church, thank you for your thoughts and prayers during my illness. They were very much appreciated. And Pastor Sean, that would be you, thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your busiest week of our conversation, busiest week. Our conversation meant a lot to me. Your prayers really meant a lot to me. And in your prayer, when you asked God to give me the ability to make the right decision, he told me to do the pacemaker instead of hospice. Thank you, everyone, from the bottom of my faulty heart. And Sean, all I can say is, you're a good man, Charlie Brown. Jack.
This is this life of faith we lead together. With that, please stand in body or in spirit. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go forth in peace, for the risen Christ walks with us on the road.